Welcome to GovCast, connecting with federal IT's top decision makers. I'm Alexander Bolova, production lead at GovCIO Media and Research. With me today is staff writer researcher Nikki Henderson. Hi, Nikki.
Hi there, Alex.
So you had the opportunity to chat with Faisal Amin, Chief Financial Officer at EPA. How'd it go?
Yes, Alex, it went wonderful. We had a great discussion. Faisal was extremely excited about all of the things that are happening right now at EPA. He talked about what the agency has accomplished so far with their 2022 through 2026 strategic plan, and that very important fourth principle, the environmental justice that was included in this plan. So he also shared details about EPA's cross-agency strategies and why they're so critical to their overall mission. So, oh, and Alex, you won't believe this. Faisal even told me a little bit about how the agency is exploring multiple ways to use AI. So it was really a really great conversation.
Yes, for our listeners at home with your GovCast bingo cards, you can now check off the square artificial intelligence. So I know that EPA released its strategic plan back in 2022, which means that somehow the agency is already at its halfway point. What did Faisal tell you about the progress they've made so far?
Yes, Faisal said EPA has made significant progress with its strategic plan, including the creation of its new Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights. They've invested $2 billion in grants to fund environmental justice and climate justice work in communities across the country. Faisal also said that their Superfund sites, those are the most contaminated sites in the nation. And he said EPA is taking major steps forward in its Superfund program by obligating more than $1 billion in bipartisan infrastructure law funds for work across more than 100 Superfund sites. So the agency has also increased the number of inspections they've conducted by more than 1,800 over the last several years, which shows how EPA is ensuring compliance with the nation's environmental laws and deterring violations. So this means that there's less pollution and a cleaner environment. So they've really accomplished a lot over the past couple of years.
Yeah, it seems like they've really made a lot of progress. I want to go back to one of the points you made earlier. I know that EPA is calling its latest strategic plan historic because of that focus on advancing environmental justice as well as climate change. Can you tell me a little bit more about this?
Sure. Faisal was very passionate about this strategic goal and how significant it is to EPA's plan. He said it basically reemphasizes their commitment to advancing environmental justice and tackling the climate crisis also. The agency is currently building a clean energy economy that's creating jobs that pay really, really well. And that is helping to also turn disadvantaged populations into healthy and thriving communities. So more people are getting a chance, and like in underserved communities, getting a chance to get these jobs that are better paying and helping boost their communities. So the agency also has introduced new technology standards for power plants in an effort to significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So they also created a greenhouse gas reduction fund, and that mobilizes financing for clean energy projects that decrease other harmful air pollutants. So this has really been a very big and bold move for EPA, which they are very proud of. Of course, advancing the environmental justice, but also addressing the climate change issues as well.
So before we dive into your interview, I wanted to ask about EPA's four cross-agency strategies. What are they, and how are they essential to advancing EPA's overall mission?
Well, Faisal did elaborate on each strategy, and he gave some specific examples in our conversation, but the four cross-agency strategies are ensuring scientific integrity and science-based decision movement, considering the health of children at all stages, all life stages, and other vulnerable populations throughout the agency's programs, advancing organizational excellence and workforce equity, and strengthening tribal, state, and local partnerships and enhancing engagement, protecting human and health and the environment. So Basil talked about, like I said, each of these in detail, but he also said at the end that each strategy is a collaborative effort between EPA, the headquarters, and its regional offices. And they're really, he said, they are essential to helping move the agency's mission forward.
Well, with all that in mind, let's take a listen to your conversation.
Today, Basil Amin, the Chief Financial Officer at the Environmental Protection Agency, will be speaking with me about the progress EPA has made with its 2022 through 2026 strategic plan and some of the challenges they face along the way. Basil will also discuss how the agency is incorporating AI into its strategic plan, as well as some of the exciting new initiatives the agency will be working on in the future. Hi there, Basil. Thanks so much for joining me on GovCast.
Hi, Nikki. Thanks so much for inviting me on the show today. I'm really excited to talk about the agency's strategic planning efforts.
Wonderful. That's great to hear. Well, before we get started, Basil, do you mind introducing yourself and just giving a brief description of your role?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Faisal Amin, and I'm EPA's Chief Financial Officer. Oftentimes, one doesn't think about strategic planning as being part of a chief financial officer's office, but we're not just the accountants that work on budgeting and financial management in the agency, but we're also the office that helps the agency track to set ambitious goals for itself and then to track its progress to achieve those ambitious goals. So one way to think about this is we're also the planners and the performance measurers of EPA as well. So that's why strategic planning is in my shop.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's go ahead and dive into our discussion.
Sounds fantastic. I'm really excited that you invited us to talk about this topic.
Oh, sure. No problem at all. Well, Faisal, EPA released its strategic plan 2 years ago. So the agency is at a halfway point. Can you tell me a little bit about the vision for this plan and what progress has the EPA made over the last 2 years when it comes to achieving some of the plan's main objectives?
I'd be delighted to, Nikki. Thanks so much for asking. EPA's fiscal year 2022 to 2026 strategic plan is historic in the attention and planning that it provides for the most important and pressing environmental challenges of our lives: climate change and environmental justice. It renewed the agency's commitment to the three principles articulated by the agency's first administrator, William Ruckelshaus: follow the science, follow the law, and be transparent. It also expanded by adding an additional fourth principle, advance justice and equity. This strategic plan furthers the agency's commitment to protecting human health and the environment for all people, with an emphasis on historically overburdened and underserved communities. Here's an important way to look at the strategic plan. It's an important communication and management tool. It communicates the Biden administration's top priorities for EPA, and also it provides a roadmap for how we're going to achieve those top priorities. And in developing this plan, we sought to be more inclusive and accessible. For the first time, we conducted early outreach to hear from both traditional and new partners and stakeholders on what is important and how we can work more effectively together. And then we considered and incorporated that input as we crafted our strategies. In terms of progress, I'm so happy to report that the agency is well on the path to achieving the vast majority of our long-term goals. You know, based on the available data that we've collected over the last 2 years, the agency is meeting or exceeding at least 70% of the ambitious targets we set in the strategic plan. That shows real progress. If it's okay with you, I'd love to give you a couple examples of some of our most significant accomplishments that we've made for the nation. Is that okay?
Oh, that's perfectly fine. Go ahead. Thank you.
Fantastic, Nikki. The agency is making significant progress toward the administration's goal to replace 100% of lead service lines. These are the pipes that carry water from the water main under the street to residences, to help ensure that all Americans have safe drinking water. This is a really big deal, and it's a monumental investment in our infrastructure. To accomplish this goal, the Biden administration is investing $15 billion through the bipartisan infrastructure law. Now, just under half of this funding will be grants or principal forgiveness loans to disadvantaged communities that might not have otherwise had access to funding for water infrastructure upgrades. Another example, Nikki, is the creation of EPA's new Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights and their work to make the largest single investment in environmental justice in history, which is funded by President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. We're investing about $2 billion in grants to fund environmental justice and climate justice work in communities across the country. We're also taking huge steps forward in our Superfund program. Nikki, you and your listeners may know that Superfund sites are the most contaminated sites in the nation. Just last year alone, EPA obligated more than $1 billion in bipartisan infrastructure law funds for work across more than 100 Superfund sites. And 70 of these 100 sites are located in historically underserved communities. On the enforcement side, we're working to make sure that the nation's environmental laws are followed and that polluters pay for their environmental crimes. Our enforcement program has really been revitalized. Here's just a few examples. Since the beginning of this administration in 2021, the agency has increased the number of new criminal investigations opened by 62%. We've also increased the number of inspections conducted by more than 1,800 since 2021. These examples just illustrate how EPA has strengthened our commitment to ensuring compliance with the nation's environmental laws and deterring violations, which means less pollution and a cleaner and healthier environment. Now, I know I've shared some of the successes, but that's not to say that the agency isn't also facing our challenges as well. So I'd like to share some of those if that's okay. For example, while we've made a lot of strides in cleaning up Superfund sites, we've seen some new challenges as well. This is primarily due to our renewed attention to per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, known as PFAS. There are thousands of different PFAS chemicals, and your listeners may have heard of some of them. And they've been used in industry and consumer products since the 1940s in everything from frying pans to cosmetics, to firefighting foams, to paint, to cleaning products and medical devices. They're often known as forever chemicals because they break down over a really long time. So they've been found in the blood of people and animals all over the world, and they're present at low levels in water, air, fish, and soil at locations across the nation and the globe. While we don't fully understand all of the risks that PFAS present, peer-reviewed scientific studies have shown that exposures to some PFAS in the environment may be linked to harmful health effects in humans and animals. And so, based on these recent studies, and to ensure we're protecting public health, we decided to go back to some of the Superfund sites that we previously completed remediating and to see if there was PFAS there at those sites. And when we looked, we found that some of those sites did require additional cleanup because of PFAS presence. So the number of our newly refinished Superfund sites is being somewhat offset by these older reopened sites. So that's what I mean by some of the challenges that we're facing. So in a nutshell, this is a challenge when you're looking at the metrics and goals in our strategic plan, but it's also an opportunity to go back, apply our new understanding of these chemicals, and to make sure we're doing the right job for the American people.
Wow. I mean, this is amazing what you all are doing. And I understand where you have successes, there are also challenges, but you all are doing a wonderful job with keeping our water safe, and eliminating the lead is a really big thing that you all are doing. And we appreciate that. So thank you so much for sharing the successes as well as the challenges. Well, how does the latest plan renew commitment to EPA's three principles? And can you elaborate on the additional principle that was added to the strategy?
Thanks so much for that question, Nikki. And before I take it, I just want to share my personal appreciation and the agency's appreciation for your enthusiasm as well. remember, just in environmental justice, that's $2 billion with a B. And so it's a tremendous investment across the nation. But let me take this question that you've just asked. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, the strategic plan renews commitment to EPA's three foundational principles: follow the science, follow the law, and be transparent. And as I also shared, we added a fourth foundational principle: advance justice and equity. By adding the fourth principle, we solidified the recognition that it's time to include this principle to infuse the consistent and systematic, fair, just, and impartial treatment of all individuals into EPA's policies, its practices, and its programs. So as a result, all of these principles form the basis of the agency's culture and guide its operations and decision-making, no matter whether it's with respect to the public and communities or EPA's workforce. EPA recently enshrined these principles in a new policy for evaluations and other evidence-building activities, which I'm really proud to say was developed by my own office, the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. This new policy complements and reinforces EPA's scientific integrity policy. At its core, the new evidence policy instructs all EPA employees to do high-quality, objective, transparent, and unbiased science analysis and evaluations to inform our agency's policies, regulations, and decisions. The policy makes it clear that no one, including political appointees, should in any way bias or otherwise undermine the objectivity of science and evidence developed to support our decision-making. The policy also requires the agency to be transparent and to make public the evidence used to inform agency decisions. And importantly, the policy requires EPA to consider and promote equity throughout the life cycle of evidence building. A diverse set of stakeholder perspectives and experience is critical to ensure that evidence building activities yield high quality insights and don't inadvertently perpetuate underlying biases. Another example, if I can share, Nikki, of the administration living up to these principles, is the agency's commitment to ensure the quality and transparency of our science is the agency's efforts to give the public access to peer-reviewed scientific research papers and research data as part of EPA's open government and transparency efforts. So as part of this effort, EPA created a repository at PubMed Central to provide access to the agency's scientific texts. Okay, one last concrete example of the agency's commitment to transparency is that we've reduced the number of outstanding requests under the Freedom of Information Act by one third since 2021. So thanks for your question, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share our commitment to those principles.
Yes, you're more than welcome. That really is amazing. Everyone has a right to know, and you guys are taking the right steps to make sure that everyone knows what's going on. It's transparent. You're not trying to hide anything. And so that's extremely important. Well, for the first time, and I know that you've already touched on this a little bit, but EPA's plan does include a strategic goal of zeroing in on climate change and advancing environmental justice and civil rights. Can you tell me a little more about this and how did it come about?
You're right that I chatted about it before, but I'm happy to continue to. There's so much that I can talk about this particular topic because it's a really, you know, bold and unprecedented direction for our agency. And I think it's really important. It reemphasizes our commitment to advancing environmental justice and civil rights and tackling climate change. EPA has charted a course in this strategic plan where tackling climate change and advancing environmental justice and civil rights are integral to all the agency does in carrying out its mission. You know, shortly after taking office, President Biden issued an executive order on tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad. The order commits the federal government to do three things: put the climate crisis at the center of the nation's foreign policy and national security, take a government-wide approach to the climate crisis, and secure the environmental justice and spur economic opportunity. President Biden emphasized that to secure an equitable economic future, the United States must ensure environmental and economic justice for all. This is a key consideration in how we govern. That means investing in building a clean energy economy that creates well-paying jobs, turning disadvantaged communities historically marginalized and overburdened into healthy, thriving communities. It also means taking robust actions to mitigate climate change. We're preparing for the impacts of climate change across rural, urban, and tribal areas. Our strategic plan now reflects what the science and our stakeholders have told us for some time, that climate change is not only real, but also the most important environmental issue facing the nation and our world. You don't just need to hear it from me, Nikki. We are all now witnessing the reality and impact of climate change and global warming in real time. We've all seen how wildfires are ravaging our forests, putting homes and lives at risk, and choking our lungs and smoke from far, you know, as far away as Canada. Our coastal communities are threatened by sea level rise and stronger and bigger hurricanes. More violent storms, floods, and tornadoes devastate communities across the nation. We've seen how prolonged droughts and other extreme weather events have impacted our nation's agriculture and drinking water supplies. We watch on the news the flooding and mudslides on our West Coast, and severe long-lasting heat waves have caused so many deaths, often among the most vulnerable of our people. As the world's preeminent environmental agency, we at the EPA must set an example for the country and lead other nations to make addressing climate change a high priority. We decided to make climate change one of our strategic goals and are ensuring that all agency programs take action to address climate change and its impacts. Here are a few examples that we've worked on related to climate change. The agency introduced new technology standards for power plants, which represent some of the largest sources of greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. Implementation of the technology standards will avoid more than 600 million metric tons of CO2 pollution, while also preventing 300,000 asthma attacks and 1,300 premature deaths in 2030 alone. Also, working with our colleagues at the Department of Transportation, we established new fuel and mileage standards for vehicles. The new proposed transportation standards would avoid nearly 10 billion tons of CO2 emissions, which is equivalent to more than twice the total US CO2 emissions in 2022, and lead to fewer premature deaths and serious health effects like respiratory and cardiovascular illnesses. The Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, provided EPA with a game-changing $44.5 billion to support 24 new and existing programs. I'd love to just share three with you right now. It provides $27 billion to establish the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, which creates competitive grants to mobilize financing and leverage private capital for clean energy and climate projects that reduce greenhouse gas emissions and other air pollutants. It includes $5 billion for climate pollution reduction grants to tribes, states, territories, air pollution control agencies, and local governments to develop and implement plans for reducing greenhouse gas emissions and other harmful air pollutants. And also $3 billion is being invested in the Environmental and Climate Justice Program, which will fund a wide range of climate and environmental justice activities that benefit low-income and disadvantaged communities. You also asked about environmental justice. And as I shared earlier, EPA has had a longstanding commitment to environmental justice. The work we're doing in communities is designed to increase their capacity to address environmental justice, as well as civil rights concerns. We're proactively integrating environmental justice and civil rights into policies and activities as a fundamental element of the agency's relationship with federal, state, and local partners to jointly achieve beneficial changes on the ground for communities. So just as we're embedding environmental justice into our framework as an agency, we're also continuing to invest in oversight, guidance, and assistance for states and local governments so that they can embed environmental justice into their programs and enhance civil rights enforcement as well. Finally, as part of EPA's new National Program for Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights, the new Office of External Civil Rights Compliance is committed to enforcing compliance with federal civil rights laws to address historic and systemic barriers that contribute to the environmental injustice, overburdening, and vulnerability of communities. While doing so, the office is also committed to working with state and environmental agencies to resolve discrimination complaints. So lots happening at the agency. when it comes to addressing climate change and environmental justice and civil rights.
Definitely. Well, Faisal, what are the four cross-agency strategies and how essential are collaborative efforts when it comes to advancing the agency's overall mission?
Another great question, Nikki. So let me walk through the four cross-agency strategies. The first strategy is to ensure scientific integrity and science-based decision-making. This strategy underscores EPA's strong culture of scientific integrity. It promotes the delivery of rigorous and independent scientific evaluation and analyses and grounds EPA's actions in the best available science. The second strategy is to consider the health of children at all life stages and other vulnerable populations. Throughout the agency's programs, we strive to protect people at all stages of life. So we also consider vulnerable populations like children in assessing adverse health effects resulting from toxic exposures. The third strategy is advance EPA's organizational excellence and workforce equity. The work of the EPA touches all people, and it's therefore important that our workforce reflects the great diversity of cultures and perspectives of the American people. It's only by having a diverse workforce that we can ensure our science, our rulemaking, and our policies are effective for everyone. This strategy also focuses on EPA's stewardship of taxpayer funds by improving efficiency, transparency, and accountability too. For example, the agency has improved 470 operational processes since the start of the strategic plan using our lean management tools within our continuous improvement program. The fourth strategy, Nikki, is to strengthen tribal, state, and local partnerships and enhance engagement. Protecting human health and the environment is a shared responsibility of EPA and its tribal, state, and local government partners. State and local governments provide the majority of on-the-ground environmental protection in this country, and implementing federal environmental laws as well as their own. So it's really important that we have strong partnerships, across those entities as well. Each of these strategies that I've shared, Nikki, requires collaboration among EPA headquarters and regional offices, our research and development labs, and with our state, tribal, and local government counterparts. Collaboration with our partners we don't just view it as optional. It's an essential part of the National Environmental Protection Enterprise. That's why I'm so proud of efforts like the E-Enterprise for the Environment program, which is also within the Office of the Chief Financial Officer. E-Enterprise is a collaborative partnership between EPA, states, and tribes. It provides a forum for early and meaningful dialogue with partners who make decisions together, streamlining and simplifying processes and leveraging technology to optimize effectiveness. But thanks so much for asking about the cross-agency strategies and how we're implementing.
Sure, and you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Collaboration, strong partnerships are key and critical to the success of any effort. Can you also talk about some of the challenges the agency has had to overcome while implementing the strategic plan?
Good question. You know, Nikki, like all agencies across the government and businesses, we are adjusting to a hybrid work environment. Because of the investments the agency has made previously in collaboration tools, though, most of the agency's work continues without missing a beat. So some areas that require on-the-ground efforts, however, like inspections, forced us to look for innovative ways to ensure compliance with environmental laws. Another challenge that EPA faced was the increased workload and staff needed to manage the significant influx of supplemental funding under the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act to manage existing programs effectively and to stand up new programs, such as the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund and the new National Program of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights. I think overall, EPA has done a great job of rebuilding our workforce after it was significantly reduced under the previous administration. For example, with all the new funding, we found we had a shortage of certified grant managers. So we've implemented some excellent strategies and ramped up our hiring to help meet the agency's needs, including the BEPA hiring drive that the agency recently held. This was a whole of agency effort that's going to expand EPA's workforce, focusing on hiring a diverse and talented new generation of environmental professionals. Standing up new programs was a good challenge for the agency. The new Office of Environmental Justice and External Civil Rights and the new $15 billion Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund are just two examples. It takes time and planning to set up a new office and to bring people on board, but we're excited by the opportunities that these new programs present for the American people and for future generations. Finally, EPA has had to rejuvenate many programs that had previously been proposed for termination under the previous administration. For example, our geographic programs like the Great Lakes, the Chesapeake Bay, and wetlands protection. When programs are proposed to be terminated, it creates an enormous amount of uncertainty for both EPA and our regulatory partners in the states, in tribes, in U.S. territories. It makes it difficult to plan actions and effectively staff programs. So we've worked hard to rebuild many of these programs, and I'm proud of the progress that the agency has made.
Awesome. And I like what you said. You put a positive spin on it. A good challenge. Not all challenges are bad. So that's really good to hear. And I'm really excited about the EPA hiring drive and you're expanding the workforce. That's really great. Well, Faisal, what are some of the other goals of the strategic plan that EPA is hoping to accomplish by 2026?
Great question. The strategic plan is EPA's roadmap for achieving the Biden administration's environmental goals for the nation. The goals and objectives that we have in the strategic plan represent the agency's highest priorities. So all are really important. Through the supplemental appropriations, like the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law and the Inflation Reduction Act, we're so fortunate to have the funding that will help us do more than we had even originally imagined when we first issued the fiscal year 2022 to 2026 strategic plan. EPA's priorities in the strategic plan also support President Biden's executive orders on environmental justice, on equity, on science, and transparency. And as I shared earlier, we use our strategic plan to manage our program, to ensure we pay attention to performance and to do our best to achieve all of our goals. And in that regard, I'm really proud to say that we're doing well.
That's wonderful to hear. Well, I was going to shift the conversation a little bit. I have to talk about artificial intelligence. It's a really hot topic now. And I wanted to know, how are AI and other emerging technologies being incorporated into the agency's strategic plan?
Thanks so much for asking. We know that AI is going to be part of our future. And like most other agencies, we're currently working to lay the groundwork to make sure that we use AI in a thoughtful and appropriate manner. In accordance with Executive Order 14110 on safe, secure, and trustworthy development and use of artificial intelligence, the EPA will encourage the use of AI in the federal space and do so with transparency, responsibility, safety, and ethical standards. EPA currently has three active use cases for AI: the Agency Records Management System, RCRA Predictive Analytics, and ExpoCast, which is Exposure Forecasting for Chemicals. The agency is going to maintain the EPA's current AI inventory and develop a compliance plan, strategy, and AI governance committee. Looking forward, we expect workforce demand for AI tools and training is going to increase. And the agency is addressing this need through the development of training and pilot programs, as well as by ensuring that security and privacy risks are adequately addressed prior to leveraging AI solutions. I don't have a whole lot of specifics to share at this point because we're still very much at this stage of setting the guardrails for the use of AI before handing over the keys of the Ferrari to anyone, as my colleague Von Noga, EPA CIO and chief AI official, put it when we last talked about it earlier this week.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I totally understand, and I appreciate you sharing what you did. Well, are there any future data or IT initiatives that you're excited to talk about?
Always excited to talk about future data and IT initiatives. I'm excited that our IT initiatives can help reduce the administrative burden for EPA staff and our stakeholders. I really would love to see a work environment, and we're well on our way to it, where EPA staff can spend more of their time focused on advancing the agency's mission and less of it on administrative tasks. We are increasingly paperless here at EPA, and our new agency records management system is an example of what I mean when I refer to IT tools that make our jobs more efficient. Records management is a critically important responsibility for all EPA staff, both for transparency and for legal requirements. So I'm very excited to see us moving in a direction that's going to ease the burden for staff and give them more time to focus on the pressing environmental challenges that threaten the health and well-being of Americans, rather than focus them on administrative tasks.
That is very exciting indeed. Well, before we conclude, Faisal, do you have any final comments or remarks that you would like to leave with our listeners?
I thank you so much, Nikki, for having me here today to share about EPA's ambitious yet achievable strategic plan. We're well on the way to accomplishing its ambitious goals. And please, consider having us back to talk about our continued progress on achieving those goals as we hit milestone after milestone.
Great. Well, I definitely will have you back. I'm anxious to hear about what's to come down the road at EPA. Well, Faisal, thanks again for speaking with me, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Nikki, for having me on, and enjoy the rest of your day, too.
Thank you, Nikki. That was a terrific chat with Faisal Amin. Before we let our listeners go, do you have any last highlights or takeaways that you want to leave them with?
Sure. I think overall, this fourth principle that was added to the strategic plan, advancing environmental justice, just really stands out to me. It's a major step forward for EPA, and they're really, it's putting them and having them head in the right direction. Faisal said EPA included this principle to infuse that consistent and systematic, fair and just and partial treatment and for all individuals in EPA's policies, into EPA's policies, its practices, and its programs. So this principle is really helping change the agency's culture, as well as informing better decision making. So not only does it benefit EPA's workforce and the general, but also the general public. So it's just truly a big win for everyone.
Well, it's obvious that the EPA has made terrific progress in the first half of its strategic plan, and I look forward to seeing how they continue to develop over the next couple of years. Well, thank you again, Nikki. Listeners can tune in next week for a brand new podcast in our GovCIO Media and Research podcast feed. But until then, if you like what you heard, make sure you leave a review and a 5-star rating on the podcast platform of your choice. And hey, tell a friend. We always appreciate growing our audience. I'm Alexander Bolova.
And I'm Nikki Henderson.
Thank you for listening. GovCast, along with HealthCast and CyberCast, is a production of GovCIO Media and Research. For more podcasts and to check out the other shows, head to govciomedia.com. Watch out for new episodes released every Tuesday and Wednesday across our shows. You can follow all of them on your favorite podcast platform. And if you like what you heard, make sure to let us know by leaving a review. And if you have any topics you think we should look into, contact us at newsletter@govcio.com.